With Montana News, I'm Peyton Butler. Montana State University Billings and Northwest College in Powell, Wyoming are 90 miles apart, but the two institutions are working to shorten that distance academically. Kay Erickson from Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
The two schools have done collaborations in the past, but the schools see a renewed opportunity.
Northwest reached out to us because of our reputation and our student-focused abilities here.
That's MSUB Chancellor Dan Edelman. He and a group of administrators made a field trip to Powell last week to meet face-to-face with their counterparts and explore how the two schools can better serve their students. One of the strong draws for Northwest College is MSUB's far-reaching online presence. But the collaboration is not just one way, says Northwest College President Stephanie Hickswa.
There's some things that we can do to shore up some of the gaps in the curriculum at MSUB.
An example is engineering, with more courses at the two-year college in Powell than in Billings. The meeting between the administrative teams was very preliminary, more of a get-to-know-you event, but both administrators are excited about the education opportunities for their students.
You know, you get a bunch of smart people in the room, and it's way bigger than what Chancellor Edelman and I ever could have come up with ourselves.
MSUB is the closest four-year institution to Powell and other nearby communities in the Bighorn Basin. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
The Montana Supreme Court heard oral arguments Wednesday about whether BNSF Railway can be held liable for exposing Libby residents to asbestos that was in shipments of vermiculite it transported before the local mine shut down in 1990. MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports.
The court heard a little over an hour of oral arguments from BNSF and a Kalispell-based law firm, which is representing the 1,200 plaintiffs in the case. Those plaintiffs say they were exposed to harmful asbestos dust in Libby that came from vermiculite BNSF was carrying as freight. Attorney Jennifer Merriman says back in January, the Asbestos Claims Court, charged with hearing Libby-related asbestos cases, ruled in favor of her clients in several key areas.
The first being finding that BNSF was strictly liable for its operations in Libby, Montana, involving vermiculite. And the second issue was whether or not federal law would preempt plaintiffs' claims or basically bar plaintiffs' claims. And the third issue was whether or not BNSF, as a common carrier charged with transporting freight, should be immune from strict liability.
The asbestos court found that overall, BNSF could not shield itself from liability with the argument that it was merely transporting products it was paid to carry. It's not clear when Montana Supreme Court will issue a ruling on the appeal. If it signs with the plaintiffs in the case, it could then move to trial. Calls to BNSF and the attorney representing the company were not returned in time for this story. This is the second Libby asbestos appeal the state's highest court has heard since the inception of the Asbestos Claims Court. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana's lone representative in the U.S. House today voted against a resolution to formalize the impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. Republican Greg Gianforte voted with his party members and two Democrats against the measure from the House majority to lay the foundation and ground rules for the process of considering articles of impeachment. Federal officials today revealed more specifics about the timeline and process surrounding the final deal for Butte's Superfund cleanup, although some details are still murky. Nora Sachs reports.
In mid-October, the parties in charge of the cleanup announced they had reached agreement on a final, legally binding deal, marking a turning point in the mining city's three-decades-long Superfund saga. The cleanup deal still has to be reviewed and signed by senior officials at the state of Montana, Atlantic Richfield Company, the U.S. Department of Justice, and EPA. In a statement released Thursday, EPA said, quote, "We estimate that process will take from 4 to 5 weeks, but it could be shorter or longer," unquote. Once those parties have signed off on the deal, the entire package will be made available to the public and Butte's Council of Commissioners, who have to vote on whether or not to sign it. According to EPA, Butte-Silver Bow County plans to hold public education meetings to answer questions about the proposal and will likely accept informal public comment as part of their deliberation process. The county will release more details soon. If the consent decree is approved by all of the Superfund parties, it will then be lodged with a federal court and eventually released for a formal 30-day public comment period. If the consent decree is not entered, the EPA has legal authority to issue a unilateral order and force Atlantic Richfield and Butte Silver Bow to perform the final cleanup work. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
North Dakota regulators say the Keystone Pipeline leaked more than 383 gallons of oil in the northeastern part of the state. The company says the spill has been contained and its cause is unknown. Montana's Democratic Senator John Tester said in a press call today, new federal regulations on hemp could create more certainty for farmers and boost job growth in the state. Rachel Kramer with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
The USDA regulations are intended to create national standards for hemp production and eliminate legal uncertainty, which will help farmers access loans and crop insurance. Senator Tester says it's a step in the right direction.
It's a good start. I think we've got to continue to look and listen to the folks who are growing and utilizing it in manufacturing and tweak it as necessary.
Some of the new rules in the 161-page draft include licensing requirements for farmers. Others require hemp to be tested in labs registered with the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency. Plants with too much THC, the chemical compound that can get you high, would be destroyed. Industrial hemp became legal to grow beyond state research and pilot projects with the 2018 Farm Bill. Since then, the non-psychoactive CBD oil derived from hemp has become part of a multi-billion dollar industry. Montana farmers facing low wheat and pulse crop prices planted around 22,000 acres of hemp last year, and almost double that in 2019. But it's still a bit of a risky business. There aren't any big processors in the state to turn raw, harvested hemp into CBD oil, t-shirts, or biofuels. A group of farmers recently filed a lawsuit alleging out-of-state companies haven't paid them what they're owed. Tester says this isn't unprecedented for pioneering industries.
I mean, I got into organics 35 years ago. It was the same kind of deal where you had a lot of companies that were operating on a shoestring budget and sometimes you didn't get paid. As that industry matured, of course, businesses get much more financially secure and that's less of a risk.
Tester and Republican Senator Steve Daines have both supported funding and policies to strengthen the hemp industry in Montana. A 60-day public comment period on the USDA's new regulations will end December 30th. The agency will use this feedback when drafting its final set of rules in 2 years. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.